Welcome to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD. I'm your host and moderator, Troy Skinner. The Frederick Faith Debate is designed to be an open and honest forum for our local faith community leaders to share and discuss their views of the truth. Thomas Jefferson once said, "The clash of ideas is the sound of freedom," and in that spirit, we will seriously wrestle with important ideas and might even disagree with one another. The hope is that through our wrestling, you will develop a better understanding of the truth about the most important issues that face us in this world. This week we're going to discuss bad things. And does God cause or allow bad things to happen? For example, the tsunami. For example, getting stuck in traffic. I don't know, whatever you might consider to be bad things. Here to talk about such bad things, John Schweitzer from Across River Valley Chapel is here again this week. Thank you, John. Khalil El Shazlif, the president of the Islamic Society here in Frederick, is with us again. Thank you, Khalil. And Drew Boswell from Daybreak Community Church is with us again as well. It's the second or third time that that he's been on the show.
Good to be here.
Thank you all. So about how many weeks ago is it now? Maybe a couple of months ago, big news story dominated the international news for many a week. Giant killer tsunami wave caused by an earthquake in the Indian Ocean wipes out entire islands, destroys entire villages, entire families and extended families washed away and gone, hundreds of thousands of people dead and or dying. The numbers just keep escalating. Some people, when things like that will happen, will say, where was God? Did God cause this? Did God allow this? Would a good and loving, merciful God, you know, let this sort of thing happen? So we're here to talk about that. And I'm not sure who would like to go first, but I'm going to let Drew fire away first.
Okay. So the question is, did God cause the tsunami?
I guess in the simplest terms, yeah.
Okay. I'd like to kind of address the question maybe a little bit differently, and not so much the question of did God cause it, but a God, maybe looking at the attributes of God, because we really don't know, you know, God's all the things that God knows.
Yeah,
you know,
we really
can't. I really don't want to play judge and kind of say, yeah, those people deserved it, or you know, God did it, and so I don't know, to be honest. And so I think it's easier to maybe look at the attributes of God that's revealed to us in Scripture. And we know that God is a God of grace and love and mercy, and the fact that He has provided a way for all people to be saved and to have a relationship with Him, and He's also provided a glimpse of time, which I think is important to bring into the discussion as well, because when you think of, you know, the horrible things that happened, like on 9/11 or the tsunami or different things, and we think of a day or a year or even our lifetime as a long time, but God sees it as just a moment, a glimpse, you know, a puff of smoke is described. Mm-hmm. And so when we're looking at God and did He cause it and did He play a part in it, I would say, yes, ultimately He's sovereign, but He's revealed Himself as a God of love and mercy, and that He provides all people a way in which they can have eternal life and have a relationship with Him, and that if someone chooses not to, whether it's a sudden moment or if they die of old age, the ultimate cause is still going to be in the same place.
Okay. Kind of evaded my question there a little bit.
Well, I wasn't trying to evade it, because I don't think anyone could actually say, yes, God caused the tsunami. So we kind of have to step back and say, well, what type of God is God? You know, when you look at who God is, God's described as a God of justice and wrath, and He separates Himself from sin, and that's where the Bible calls a place called hell. But He's also a God of grace, love, and mercy. Through Jesus Christ, He sent His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall have life, and, you know, eternal life. And so I think He gives all people an opportunity to receive.
You know, I don't feel like that's an evasion of the question, Troy. And the reason why I don't think it's an evasion is because I think the reality is that there is no way that any of us can know whether or not God did it. But what Drew is saying in a nice way is that it's very possible that God did. But we don't know for sure. We don't know God's perspective on those nations that were affected most directly. And we don't know if it's possible that God said, you know what, it's time for me to do something in such a way to bring judgment and to reset the culture, if you will. Clearly, he did that in Egypt. Clearly, he did that with Israel on several occasions. We're told in the prophetic books that there's several times where he sent acts of nature as a specific tool of judgment to show a group of people that if they're going to reject him long enough, then the time's going to come where he too will turn his back on them. I think we could claim with a large measure of accuracy that those nations that rejected God through communism, within 40 years of having rejected him, within a generation, every single one of them didn't have enough food in the nation to feed their own nation. They were in economic disarray, and corruption was at every level of their government. And that was true all through Russia. That's true in Albania. That's true in all the Eastern Bloc nations, that to the extent that people reject God, there comes a time where there's consequences for that. And I think that that's an extremely unpopular thing in today's society for anybody to acknowledge that that's true about God. Clearly, God is a God of love as we're presented in Scripture, but there's this balancing side to God that says that if... All right, no, let me approach it a different way. We're so big on saying a good God could never cause such evil, but if God sees men that are so evil that they cannot be brought back, i.e. like a Hitler, I think he would be the common example, does God not have a right to do a good act in removing that evil from the face of the planet? The point is, cannot God act to protect the rest of the planet from people that he might view as evil, to protect the rest of the planet from those guys? Would that not be a good thing? Is it not possible that there can be people like Hitler that are so evil that they deserve to be removed, and their removal would not be an act of evil, but would be an act of goodness? And that's the problem I think most people have with a good God allowing evil on the face of the planet. They don't realize that it's not God that's evil, but it's us as humankind that has such huge potential for evil in our own hearts. And I guess that's where I would stand on it, that I think that in a question like this, did God cause it or not, the tsunami, I think it's possible that he did. I personally won't try to stand in that position. I'm glad he's God and that I don't have to make that decision. But I would say that God does do those kinds of things, and he does it to protect the rest of the planet from evil.
All right, I'll give Khalil a chance now to opine.
Okay, I think we all agree that God is love, God is all merciful, compassionate. Also, God is has a power over everything. He has a power over the universe. He has a power over what's going on in nature. What happened there was purely physics. The physics of Earth is taking its toll. We see that with floods. We see that with earthquakes. We see that with tsunamis. So that's nature's way physically of what's going on. Could God step in and prevent it? Some people ask that question. Where was God? How could God allow this? We all know the story of Abel and Cain. Could God have stopped the killing? Yes, he could have, but this is the way nature takes its toll.
Yeah.
Human beings have their own way of thinking and doing things. Sometimes it's evil, sometimes good. God allows both to happen. That's why the day of judgment will be judged on what we do. Could God have intervened? Absolutely. He has intervened. We all know the miracles, the stories of miracles.
That's
of
true.
A whole family. I think they're from Australia. A man, his wife, and his two children. They were all separated. They're all on top of the wave. They all end up on trees in separate locations. And lo and behold, they all got back together. They were alive. We all know the story of that gentleman who was in the water for 10 days and saved by a ship. God had intervened. He separated those who were not destined to die from those who were destined to die. And the claim that those who died deserve to die because they were good or bad, we know that people from all sorts of religions, people of all sorts of backgrounds died. So it's not necessarily a punishment. It's a natural disaster that took its toll. God had intervened, of course. He's all powerful. Could he have intervened and prevented the whole thing? Well, we could debate that, but God is the one who decides controls this universe, not us. All we could do is think about it, think about what happened, learn our lesson. We all know the story of some of us heard the story of the lady who saved all her money, all her life, just to go to the beach and enjoy herself for a few days. And what happened? She goes to the beach and boom, the tsunami hits. So we really need to think about, okay, what kind of lessons we learned from that? What are priorities in life? Are we serving God the way we're supposed to? Or we're just serving our interests and hobbies and following our desires? That would be the question.
You're listening to Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD. You just heard the voice of Khalil El-Shazly, the president of the Islamic Society here in Frederick. John Schweitzer spoke before that. He's the pastor of Crossroad Valley Chapel. And the beginning of our round robin was Drew Boswell from Daybreak Community Church here in Frederick. And I forgot to mention at the beginning of the show that AllShred is sponsoring the program. AllShred Mobile Document Destruction, shredding today for growth tomorrow, 1-877-2-SHRED. It seems like there was some consensus that maybe we don't, it's not our place to say that God caused this to happen, but everybody seems to agree that certainly God was within God's power to stop it if he had chosen to stop it.
Yeah.
So
certainly.
how do you answer the question? And Khalil kind of he alluded to this question in his answer. You know, for somebody who's mad at God, how could God allow this to happen? What's the answer?
I think I would address kind of Khalil's response by saying is that my personal belief is that we probably all, according to Scripture, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And so, if you kind of take it in a big picture, we all really deserve to die. Now, when that comes in. Or Scripture describes death as being separated from God, and so whenever that happens, whether it be in a sudden cataclysmic event or at old age, we still deserve to be separated from Him forever because of the sin that is within us. And I believe that where we might disagree would be where of how a person deals with that sin or how that sin is kind of taken away. So if you say, well, how could God cause this or why did God take these people's lives? I would kind of say, well, we really deserve to take our lives deserve to be taken away from us because of the sin that we have done, and so I wouldn't so much put it on God. Why did God do this? Why did He allow it to happen? But instead, put it on us and say, well, we have, because of our sin, we have voluntarily separated ourselves from God, and we, according to Scripture, deserve to die and to be separated. Yeah. And it's His grace and mercy and love that that He's shown to us that allows us to have peace and reconciliation with Him and to have an eternal life and to go to heaven and those type of things.
See, I think that the number one tendency of mankind is simply to not take responsibility for his own actions. If I can blame somebody else, whether it's my wife or my kids or somebody else at work or the economy or, you know, my parents who raised me, I'm gonna tend to wanna get the pressure and the focus off of me and onto somebody else. And God, of course, is the ultimate scapegoat. You know, in fact, we think that Christ was a scapegoat in every sense of the term, theologically. You know, that the point is that he took all that responsibility upon himself willingly. And I think, Drew, you're absolutely right, that whenever the question is asked, how could a good God allow evil, I think the question first needs to be answered before anybody tries to answer that question, whether or not you and I are honestly dealing with the potential for evil that is in our own lives. If we're not honestly dealing with that question, then I think that we come to our attempt to judge God as being somehow wrong or somehow less than good enough, we come to that endeavor with an extremely skewed perspective, a perspective that hasn't pulled out of our own eye some splinters and some logs that make us think that somehow we're better than what we are. And I think that's the key issue to deal with in a situation like this. Is it possible that mankind deserves this kind of thing? I do want to say this, that it is true, and this will probably be my most controversial statement of the day, but it is true that those nations that were most affected by the tsunami are on record for being being in the top nations on the planet that reject Christ. And I don't personally know that I can make make a quid pro quo from that, that automatically, if that's the case, that therefore God was bringing judgment. But I do know that those nations around the planet, once again, that are that seem to be the most resistant to God and Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Khalil, unfortunately, I will address that this seems to be something of the case in the Middle East as well, that those nations experience the greatest levels of famine, the greatest amount of desert in their nation, the lack of ability to grow things, the greatest amount of disease. And you know, there's several nations around the face of the planet. And all I'm saying is that in the Old Testament, we're clearly told that God interacts with nations as a corporate body, and that to the extent that they reject him, they will feel a rejection back, and that God's patience only goes so far. And all I know is that in the New Testament, we're not told anywhere that God has stopped interacting with nations around the face of the planet in the same way, and that he still judges them on the basis of their interaction with him. In fact, we're told in Revelation that in the end times, there will come a time that if people don't come up to worship God through Jesus Christ at Jerusalem every year, that for that year, that nation will experience famine and disease as a result. And Scripture is very clear about that. They make it a quid pro quo in that sense, that this, therefore, that. And again, I think that we're unwilling to realize as humans how unkind we are to God, how little we appreciate how much we have rejected him and been rude and disrespectful toward he who created the planet, who gave us life, who gave us families, who gave us love. And in giving us all these things, we turn our back on him and we say, forget it. And we think that somehow he has a responsibility to us to take care of all these things. And I think that as a result, we have lost a fear of God that is appropriate.
Khalil, when John was talking about the nations affected most by the tsunami were the most anti-Christian nations on the planet, and I couldn't help but notice a change in your posture and a little smile on your face, and you started jotting some notes. So I know you have something to say.
Okay. I kind of agree with John in a sense that when God is mad at nations, yeah, he will send some natural disasters that's mentioned in Quran and in many stories about perished nations.
Yeah.
The only thing I disagree with him that saying that most of the nations, referring to probably Muslim nations, that were hit by it?
There are some of those that are Muslim, some that are Hindu.
Okay,
and
but
Buddhist.
Muslims don't reject Jesus Christ.
Many Muslim, that are Indian.
Muslims would not be Muslims without believing in Jesus Christ.
Okay, can I make
him,
a distinction on that?
You think of him differently than I do.
Yeah.
But Muslims do believe in Jesus Christ,
right,
in the sense that he is a prophet,
right,
he's not a god,
right,
or son of God.
Right.
But that would be the only distinction.
Let me make a quick distinction on that, according to the Christian scriptures, according to the Bible, that distinction would be enough to put, according to the Bible, I'm not saying according to the Quran, but according to the Bible, as it is well documented, this is a very orthodox statement. According to the Bible, those nations that reject Jesus as the Son of God, as the only begotten Son of God, who is equal to and with God, the Bible clearly states that those who don't believe that would be outside of the blessing of God.
Okay, how would God then, those who were killed by Hitler, whether they're Christians or Jews or Muslims, will fall to the same category? Those who die in the hurricanes here in the southern states this past hurricane season. They were also mostly Christians, and about those who get hit by the earthquakes in the epicenter in San Francisco.
Well, again, I don't know the fullness
of those things. There's a mixture
of those things.
Of different religions.
But I know for sure in Germany that the majority of the church at the time was extremely liberal. and did not believe the tenets of Scripture as we have them here, but in fact, they believed that Scripture could not be trusted, and they had rejected the deity of Christ as God.
I disagree with that, since, you know, the tsunami was it's a physical aspect. Like, if you live in Japan or San Francisco, for example, it's always in an area where it's very well known scientifically that it most probable areas to be hit by earthquakes. If you live in Florida,
Japan and San Francisco. Okay,
the epicenters of earthquakes.
Okay.
If you live in Florida and the states around it, Cuba, Guantanamo, you know, these areas, they're always susceptible of being hit by hurricanes.
Yep.
So you can't say that God is punishing these people because of their beliefs. They just happen to be in an area where it will be hit by hurricanes.
Okay, now I agree with you, though. I'm not saying that I disagree with that. I'm saying that, one, God does use those things at times in history to bring judgment on groups of people. And all I'm saying is I'll say this, that sorry, you okay? He's fighting off a little bit of a bronchitis there. I have found that Scripture is very clear about this, that it's going to rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. In fact, you probably agree with this.
But the point is that
the righteous are quick to recover
because God brings his blessing and protects them in the middle of it.
There
are some preachers in this country who came out and said, oh, well, you know, these areas that were hit by the tsunami, you know, they're terrorist camps. You know, they're children, elderly women, pregnant women, you know, who instantly died in this. So you can't really generalize and say, you know, oh, they're Muslims, it's Muslim camps, you know, they're
well, again, that's why I would avoid saying that. You know, I absolutely think that that's
you know,
the case.
I reject this notions because natural disaster could happen to anybody. And everybody dies in it, you know, whether the Muslims or Christians, whether the Buddhists, whether the Hindus, they all died in this natural disaster. So you can't, you know, then maybe God's collectively punishing everybody.
Which might be possible. And I don't know for sure. I personally wouldn't say that there is a quid pro quo there. I just don't know for sure. But I do know that historically, God is the kind of God that, if you reject him long enough, then he brings rejection back. Now, I got to ask you this, though,
because I
think you would agree with me on this as well.
That's in my Quran, too.
I think you would agree
on the same page with that.
Agree with me on this. If God brings that kind of judgment, does it not, if he brings that kind of judgment on a particular society, whatever society it is, let's say there happened to be a society that both you and I believed were genuinely deserving of that from what your Quran says and my scriptures say. If that was the case, would you be willing to say that God's judgment would affect both the leaders and the widows and the children and the mothers, that it would affect everybody in that society, not just the leaders of that society?
Absolutely. When a disaster hits, it hits everybody.
Yeah.
And everybody's affected by it.
And that's my point. That's my point, is that when it happens,
and we taught,
we can't separate out in a society
we're taught in the Quran
those that we think are innocent, that, those that are not.
Yeah.
God works that out himself,
which is why
I'm glad he's God and I'm not.
Mm-hmm. We're taught in Islam and the Quran that when a calamity hits, when it hits good people, it hits them, it's a test from God. He's testing your faith.
How do you really believe in God, or you just say, "Oh, I believe in God," but when you get hit by calamity, then
you have to really test your faith. And let's not all forget the one who's tested the most about his beliefs, Prophet Abraham,
or Christ as well, obviously.
Prophet Abraham, we're taught in the Quran that he was hit with the most calamity. He was put in fire when he was 14 years old. He got kicked out of Iraq. He went to the Palestine area. God ordered him to take his wife and his child, only child at the time.
Of course, there's a lot of those things that are in the Quran that I wouldn't necessarily agree with. Nevertheless, certainly Abraham, I would agree, went through some tough times. Well, for us as Christians, we claim that Christ went through the worst.
We had a real good give and take there. The unfortunate product of the good give and take is that Drew didn't have a chance to contribute very much. We're
running
out of time.
I didn't have a microphone, that's why. His microphone.
I want to give Drew a chance to maybe to add a few thoughts here because we have like a minute and a half left
in
the show.
So. I think I would agree with what Khalil said about there's probably various depths to reasoning of why a natural disaster might happen and God would have different.
I'm in agreement with that.
More than just one reason.
Absolutely.
More than judgment. But then I also would be careful that we don't necessarily say, pinpoint where this nation is deserving of judgment and this one's not, because when we do that, then we're playing judge at that point, but also we are looking at ourselves as a judge ultimately. Mm-hmm. And we're saying that, you know, we're kind of playing a judge at that point, and I think only God can do that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we have about 30 or so seconds left, so I'm not going to ask another question because it'll be an hour and a half before
we're done. That's right.
So I again want to thank our sponsor, AllShred, Mobile Document Destruction. Shredding today for growth tomorrow. Again, 1-877-2-SHRED, 1-877-2-SHRED. That's how you get in touch with AllShred. Thanks again for being part of the show. John Schweitzer from Crossroads Valley Chapel.
Good to be here.
Drew Boswell from Daybreak Community Church. And Khalil El Shazli, the president of the Islamic Society. Thank you for coming here and battling that bronchitis that you have.
Yes.
If you are a local faith community leader or you know somebody who is, maybe you go to church somewhere or whatever, have them contact me, Troy Skinner, at the offices of WFMD. You can email me at troyskinner@clearchannel.com. My name, Troy Skinner, at clearchannel.com, or you can call the radio station, of course, and ask for me. Or if you just have a topic you'd like to hear us talk about on the show, we're open to your suggestions. You can do the same thing, just email or call. Glad to take the input. Next time we're going to talk about, we're going to expand on this idea and why good things happen to bad people and explore that a little bit. John Schweitzer said something early in this show, and I want to bring that up next week and expand on it. So we'll do that.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it's John's fault. God bless.